Welcome to Triumphant Victorious Reminders with Teresa Ann, the show that brings you thoughtful perspective through the lens of Christ. Join us every Saturday morning at 11:30 a.m. on The Bridge Austin Radio, broadcasting on both 11:20 a.m. and 101.1 FM. Whether you're on the go, hitting the gym, or simply relaxing with your favorite beverage, Triumphant Victorious Reminders will empower you to live in Christ with heavenly wit. Teresa Ann reminds us that true perspective isn't just about being positioned correctly, it's about being positioned in Christ, who is the ultimate perspective. So tune in and let your friends know to join us as we journey towards seeing mission fields in the midst of battlefields. This is Triumphant Victorious Reminders with Teresa Ann, and we're excited to have you with us.
On last week's episode, I got to talk about leaving traces of heaven. And on that particular episode, it was just giving these practicals on how we can follow Jesus in not just, you know, those religious ways of doing things, but truly remembering that when we know and we remember and when we are aware of being in Christ, there is this supernatural, natural ability and tendency to now lean into the divine nature of God, revealing His love, not just any love, but His love in every decision we make, especially when it comes to the people who are so hard to love on our own. So on today's episode, I want to talk about how lack lacks vision. And that's actually coming from the book I wrote, Heavenly Wit, Seeing Mission Fields in the Midst of the Battlefields. But before we start, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for your words today to just flow through me in the mighty name of Jesus. And may every listener have ears to hear you, eyes to see you in their very circumstances. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So here we go. Here is that opening moment of the Israelites telling God, or Samuel, that they want a king, when all the while God was their king. And here they are saying, "We want a king," said the Israelites. I don't know if you remember this or not, but whether you do, it is recorded in 1 Samuel chapters 8 through 15. And if you have not read that, or maybe you haven't read it in a long time, go back to that, because it is such a story that doesn't just give us insight historically of what happened, but also it leaves these traces of how we can do the same thing in our own lives today. So here we go. It was during the time of when God had appointed judges to rule as they were under God's authority. Can you imagine, you guys, God being the leader over your nation and ousting him for a mere man? But we do it all the time. Think about this. We think our ways are better. We think, oh, you know what? We need to be current with the times. Oh my God, the God of eternity that surpasses time. And yet we say, he's not good enough. And we may not say that with our words, but we say it with our lives sometimes. I'm just speaking for myself right now, okay? So I'm just like, just trying to imagine this right now as I'm kind of like, not stuck, but like, can you imagine this, you guys? A mere man replacing God. The people begged for this nightmare. You guys, they begged for it. It was like this regressing exchange. But notice something that was not a typo in the book that I wrote. It's truly regressing. God, even in his kindness and mercy, gives them warning of what will take place if he gives them what they want. Oof. Yikes. Whoa. Remember the scripture. It says that the blessing of the Lord, there's no sorrow that comes with it. So sometimes what we're praying for is we're praying for blessings that aren't even from God. And then when we get it, we ask God why he let that happen to us. Oh, gosh. But look at this warning that God gives and what the earthly king will do. Like, God is warning, okay, if you want an earthly king, I'm going to warn you before I give to you what you want, what's going to take place? Because I don't think you understand what you're asking for. This king will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. Meaning, they're going to be the ones that take the first arrow. He will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his servants. He will take the tenth of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and to his servants. He will take your male servants and female servants and the best of your young men and your donkeys and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your flocks and you shall be his slaves. And that day, you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer in that day. Yet, you guys, with all the warnings, it seems like a glimpse of what would come thousands of years later with Jesus. About to be beaten, and before his sentence to lay his life down on the cross, the mob, the crowd, hurled the chants of spiritual wickedness. Crucify him! Crucify him! Let's go back to that moment when God warns his people of what would come. Their evil desires that blinded them to even see, to hear, let alone heed the warnings of not only their desires of today affecting them, but also the generations to come. Have you ever had it so in your head that you want to do it the way that you want to do it, that you have convinced yourself that it's a God thing? Think about this, you guys. Two subtle things that resulted from this unbelievable moment in history were nothing other than comparison and forgetfulness. These two things led them into the subtle traps, which led to their infamous cry of, "We want a king." Comparison led them to sow the seeds with misplaced belief. They thought they wanted what other nations had. And let's get it down to the singular. How often do we do that with just as ourselves and our own lives, comparing our lives to someone else's life and saying, well, wait, I did the same thing they did, and yet look how blessed they are. Or they may look at us and say, I did the same things that they did, and my life has been a living hell, and they're living, you know, on top of the greatest, highest mountain. And look what happens. They thought they wanted what other nations had. They had quickly forgotten what God had done. They didn't purpose in their hearts to remind themselves moment by moment of his new mercies that unfolded throughout their lives. This is really key. What's next? Gratefulness and praise were non-existent. And it's what I call the replacement principle. And just so you know, when I was writing the book, I did look up if there was such a thing, and there is. There is such a thing as a replacement principle. I'm just going to go in it like this. For instance, when there's a baby crying and they have something in their hand that they're not supposed to have, you know, you take it out of their hand and you replace it with something they can have, right? So it's imprinted, this principle, throughout the Word of God. It's seen all throughout life. Even when God warned the people of what would happen if they got what they said they wanted, he revealed this very principle. And Psalm 1 is a great example to this among many throughout the Word. To me, personally, it's this thread of God's love over us. He is so merciful in the warnings, as though he is asking on a personal level. Let's just say he's talking to me. Daughter, are you sure you really want this? Son, do you know what you're really asking for? Here's another example of a replacement principle. The absence of life results in death. The absence of light results in darkness. Absence of gratefulness and praise results in complaints and poverty, lacking mindset. So here is this key to this life, this perspective shift. Like that, what this show is all about perspective. And it's not just about any perspective, but it's about knowing the person who is true perspective, and that is Christ, right? But let's just go kind of like step back here and say, okay, we all know Jesus is the true perspective, but let's just look at life in general. There's this key, right? The way you see things is the way you're going to think and speak. And it's really what you say, how you think. It's really how your life leads out. So sometimes our lives, or the way we talk, or the way we see things, it tattles on our mindset, like I talked about last week, okay? So we must see gratefulness and praise as first an instrument of honoring God, which by default becomes a weapon against the enemy's tactics and advancements. See, the enemy cannot advance unless we let him. We give him way too much power, way too much power. Yes, is he a powerful entity? Absolutely. But he understands that if we forget that God is for us, we will constantly be focused on the one who is against us. And let me tell you, when you realize who's against you more than who's for you, we will be like the 10 spies and be destroyed. The enemy can only have what we give him. He has to have this permission, and his ability to get permission in what should have been a do not trespass zone is through our ungrateful hearts, resulting in complaints. See, an ungrateful heart doesn't just happen overnight. An ungrateful heart happens when we forget about the goodness of God. Now, there are some people that don't know God, but the ones that say, remember the goodness of their lives, if they forget, they immediately, I mean, it is just an easy road to complain. There's no resistance to that. There's no resistance to an ungrateful heart. There's no resistance. There's no pull against it. But you know what is? What opposes that? What opposes an ungrateful heart is a heart of thankfulness, not just for what we have. I want to make this so clear. It is not just for what we have, but for who God is. And in who he is, we can begin to praise him because we're remembering who he is. And that no matter what we have in lack or in abundance, we constantly see with contentment. There's a beauty of contentment. That's the way it is. Contentment is such a beautiful place to be. And I can tell you on a whole nother level, contentment is contentment in Christ. So I'm reminded of the many moments that I've read Psalm 100 verse 4. And here's what it says. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. There was a day that scripture jumped out at me and off the pages. It was like it grabbed my hand and led me to turn to Psalm 22:3, which declares that God inhabits the praises of his people. And as soon as I read that, I felt this impression within my spirit. If God inhabits the praises of his people, then by default, the enemy inhabits the complaints of a people. Are we making a place, a safe place for the enemy to inhabit our lives because of complaints? Because of an ungrateful heart. See, I believe an ungrateful heart leads to complaints. So let's just really, really think about this, okay? So with all of that, I just want to kind of think about what we just covered. Who or what have you allowed to become the ruler of your life? And if this ruler is not God, do you want to change that today? So to get out of that place of condemnation, because let me tell you, condemnation loves to oppress and make you feel so guilty you can't move forward. So let's not go there, okay? But let's let this be a notification of the love of God that's stirring us to see him in the midst and just say, okay, let's change this. Let's change the narrative right now. Begin to be grateful for who he is. Well, I don't really know who he is, Teresa. I don't even know where to start. You know what? I love getting to read Psalm 104. I love getting to read Job 38. And I'll go into that one day regarding Job. But Job 38, God just sets Job straight and says, okay, I have something against you, buddy. And until I get to make my statement here, you're not going to say a word. And you know what? You're going to answer every question I have for you. I mean, it's just like, bam. And when he starts to talk, God himself, it is like, whoa. And let me just go to that, because even though I didn't have that earmarked for today, it's just so powerful, because it just goes to show this power of God to where you can start thanking him for who he is if you don't know how and if you don't really know who he is, okay? So it says, and the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you and you must answer them. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Who determined its dimensions and stretched out the surveying line? What supports its foundations, and who laid its cornerstone as the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who kept the sea inside its boundaries as it burst from the womb? And as I clothed it with clouds and wrapped it in thick darkness, for I locked it behind barred gates, limiting its shores, I said, this far and no farther will you come. Here your proud waves must stop. And it just keeps going. Where does the light come from, and where does darkness go? Can you take each to its home? Do you know how to get there? But of course you know all of this. It's funny to see the sarcasm of God, right? But what you can start doing, even from just this chapter of Job 38, is you can say, God, thank you that you laid the foundations of the earth. Lord, if you did that, then God, I am just so grateful that my life is held by you. Lord God, you're just wooing me to yourself. Thank you, Father, that out of all things, you are mindful of us. Lord, you're mindful of me, as it says in Psalm 8. God, your name is excellent above all the earth. You guys, Psalm 8 is another one that you can go to and just start thanking God for who he is. And once you do that, there's a stirring that happens from your heart to all of a sudden, you just start praising God. And that's how we can change the narrative. If you've been complaining, if you've been, I can't believe he did this or that, or, you know, there's always a reason to not be happy. Oh, the world will give you tons of those. Your own life will give you tons of those. There's plenty to go around with trouble, huh? And even Jesus said, you will have trouble in this life, but take heart. That's the biggest but that we got to pay attention to. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. Like, what heavenly wit that is. Like, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly in the midst of a world where the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. In the places where you see opposition everywhere in your life. And God says, oh, awaken, arise, see what's really happening. That although you may feel the pressure of those who are against you, do you know who's really for you? Oh, worship him now. Worship him now. Show him. Oh my God, you are for me, Lord. Nothing can separate me from your love, God. Did you know that almost every kind of scenario, it's made clear how you cannot be separated from the love of God? Not the present, not the future, not death, not life, not angels, no demons, nothing. But do you know what it doesn't say in there? It doesn't say the past. And here's why. Because God doesn't hold the past over you. And usually the enemy doesn't need to help us with that. Usually it's just us holding on to the past of either something we've done or what others have done. And that's what separates us from the realization of God's love. So today, let's make a turnaround in the narrative over our lives. That we get to be grateful for who God is, to where it stirs this praise. Holy God, you are my vision. When I see with you who is abundant life, I can't help but see that you are not the missing piece in my life. You are the whole picture. I was listening to an episode that I did a few weeks ago, and I said something about how God is that missing piece in our life. And when I listened to it again, I was like, why does that not resonate with me? And I just saw these words, because I am your wholeness to your brokenness. I am the whole picture. I am not a missing link that you need in your life. I am complete and I am whole and I am the whole picture. And it's like, oh, wow. So that's another thing to be grateful for. Thank you, God, that you are my wholeness to the brokenness in my life. Lord, thank you that I can see with the reminders of who you are as you are triumphant victory. You are the God that helps me see that I don't have to pray like this. Lord, help me in this area, Lord, where I need your help in this area. Or, you know, I don't want to, you know, be scared, or I don't want to lack this or lack that. Instead, say, Father, thank you for your courage. Thank you that you are my courage. Thank you that you are my bravery. Thank you, Lord, that you aren't scared of what I'm scared of. Thank you, Lord, that you're not scared of delivering me from my sin. Thank you, God, that you are not afraid. And Father, thank you that when I remember that you are my bravery and that you are my courage, that I won't forget you're with me. And when I don't forget that you're with me, I will know that I'm not brave on my own and I'm not courageous on my own, but I know that you are my bravery and that you are my courage. And I just want to say, guys, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of Triumphant Victorious Reminders with Teresa Ann, so that we can see Christ as our triumphant victory, seeing with heavenly wit, seeing mission fields in the midst of battlefields.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Triumphant Victorious Reminders with Teresa Ann. We hope that you were empowered and encouraged by the insights and perspectives shared on this program. Remember, living in Christ transforms us into his likeness and enables us to live an abundant life with heavenly wit. With Teresa Ann, we have learned to see mission fields in the midst of battlefields. Be sure to tune in next Saturday morning at 11:30 for another edition of Triumphant Victorious Reminders with Teresa Ann. Until then, keep seeking Christ, who is the true perspective, and may his blessings be upon you always.